Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fourth Sunday in Advent is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But she was greatly troubled by the statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, even though she was called barren. And this is her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "See, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is our text. Dear people of God, this is not a fairy tale. This is adult-themed salvation history. There is no once upon a time here. This is what our faith is built upon. Two lines of the Apostles' Creed come from these verses: conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. These facts are why Jesus was called the Son of the Most High. The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary. Some people call Gabriel the Archangel. Archangel is a term that the ancient church came up with to describe seven angels that they imagined to be in charge of all of the angels. But that idea is not in the Bible, and it is completely made up. While many angels exist, there are only two angels who are named in the Bible. That's Gabriel and Michael. And Michael might be the Lord Jesus himself. So possibly there's only one angel named in the Bible, Gabriel. And he did a bunch of stuff. Gabriel is the angel who visited Daniel in the Old Testament. He is the angel who visited the priest Zechariah. He definitely visited Mary, and he possibly even visited Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. So Gabriel appears to the young Mary with the news that he can hardly believe. He says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That is to say, wow, why are you so lucky? Wait till you hear the news and what's going to happen to you. Mary, of course, is afraid. So Gabriel tries to calm her. In fact, he seems to be the one who's kind of afraid. For he says that Mary found favor with God. Gabriel is just an angel. And as Jesus says, angels will be judged by you Christians. And here he stands in the presence of one of the hand-picked believers. Now, angels have the advantage of being able to see God at all times, so he's used to being intimidated. But the point is, we have no need to be afraid of the sight of angels, and we certainly shouldn't pray to them. Angels are beneath us on God's scale. So Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to conceive and give birth to a son, and she is to name him Jesus. And Mary says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin. Now that sounds like maybe she didn't believe it, but we know from the rest of the story that she did believe it. She was just in wonder of what the angel said. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he didn't believe when Gabriel came to him and gave him his good news. This is what the angel told Zechariah. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you in order to tell you this good news. Now listen, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things happen because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at the proper time. Mary is given no such rebuke. She's just blown away. What in the world are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. I'm a virgin. Gabriel might as well have told her, you're going to fly. That would make as much sense. But I don't have any wings. Yeah, God doesn't care. The Lord does whatever pleases him. And then Mary finally says, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. This is true, humble, Christian faith. This is why we love Mary so much. She was not born without sin. Mary is not the co-redemptrix who helped Jesus save all people. Mary does not want any of you to pray to her. Mary is great because she was a sinful human being like the rest of us, and she believed the impossible. Didn't make a lick of sense to her, but she believed it anyway, because it was the word of the Lord. And it doesn't make a lick of sense to the world either, and that's why they've invented so many stories around Mary and around Christmas to try to make this impossible news more palatable to the human mind. But we Lutherans love Mary because she shows us how to believe the word of God. For we have many questions about the word. We even have doubts about what God says and what God is doing. But in the end, we say with Mary, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand the way that you're doing it. But you say your body and blood is in this Holy Communion. You say that this little bit of water and holy baptism actually gives us the Holy Spirit. You say that the Son of God was born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit with no human father. These things don't make a lick of human sense, but because you say them in your word, I believe it. That's what makes you a Lutheran. We do not make excuses for God and for his word. We do not reason away what the Lord says. We let the word stand and we believe it, even when, especially when, we don't understand what it says. You share the faith of Mary. Now, about this child she was going to have, he was to be named Jesus. Joseph was told the same thing. Jesus was a common name in their day. There are a number of Jesuses in the Bible, just like there are a number of Jesuses in our world today. It was a common name in the Old Testament. It was pronounced Joshua, same name. Jesus and Joshua both mean Savior or the Lord saves. It's a fine name for anyone to have, but it fits especially good on this child of Mary. Gabriel says that this Jesus would be called the Son of the Most High. Now, Son of the Most High is clearly a name for God the Father. Now, it's not the most common name for God the Father, but we do find it all over the Old Testament. That old priest Melchizedek served a God called God Most High. And Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all of the plunder he got from the four kings, so that God must be the true God. And we find the term in the Psalms, we find it in Daniel, we find it in Amos. The Most High God idea is that of all the gods in the world, all the gods that people worship, our God is the Most High One. This child born in Bethlehem would have the throne of his father David. The gospel writers tell us that both Mary and Joseph, for that matter, were descendants of the great King David, who lived 1,000 years before they did. And David, who was promised in the Old Testament that he would have a son to sit on his throne forever. Jesus is that son. Or as Isaiah wrote in this chapter 9, he will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from now on into eternity. This baby Jesus, Gabriel also reports, would reign over the house of Jacob forever. Well, that's a strange term. But again, it appears a number of times in the Old Testament, and it refers to the nation of Israel, which was named after Jacob. So it fits. This is also what Pilate had in mind when he had Jesus locked up in his office and he asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" But we know that Jesus is way more than the King of the Jews. Again, in Isaiah, the Heavenly Father says these words to his Son, "It is too small a thing that you should just be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob and to restore the ones I have preserved in Israel. So I will appoint you to be a light for the nations, so that my salvation will be known to the ends of the earth." Jesus is the King of the world, King of all the worlds, King of whatever worlds there may be. For Jesus is the King of everyone's heart who looks to him in faith. So this precious child of Bethlehem, this son of David, this son of the Most High, this God of gods, this Lord of lords, this light of lights, was conceived by the Holy Spirit as the power of the Most High overshadowed Mary. Is that a difficult picture? Overshadowed? Usually we use overshadow in a negative way, don't we? There's a negative sense of darkness there. The giant oak overshadowed the cabin. It's ominous, isn't it? It sounds like it's going to fall on it. But this overshadowing is the most wonderful thing. God's Holy Spirit himself, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, came to Mary and placed life in her womb by his almighty power. That's what Mary was asked to believe. That the Trinity would do this great work in here. In her, that the Father would send his Holy Spirit to place the very Son of God in her womb without the help of any man. And that's what the Lord expects you to believe too. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary's child was holy. Mary was not holy. Jesus is holy. Jesus is without sin. The only sin that touched Jesus is the sin that he voluntarily picked up and carried to the cross of shame to pay for with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Jesus himself had no sin. He was and he remains holy. But he took your sin to be your redeemer. Jesus is the Son of God. That's the first part of faith. The second part of faith is that you believe that Jesus is your Savior. See, even demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that and they shudder. It doesn't help them at all, because they don't combine Jesus' divinity with faith that he is the Savior from sin like you do. So believe it, dear people of God, and trust him. None of this makes a lick of human sense. Believe it anyway. This is your salvation, that God came down from heaven, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary to live in your place in life and to die in your place upon the cross. This is your only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.